This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
No, I was just like
you. Like you had the little finger gun,
but it wasn't. I wasn't shooting at you. I wasn't doing like the Shooter McGavin. I don't know.
All right.
Anyways,
I just want to make sure that like you weren't trying to shoot at my ass and make me dance around a little.
No,
bit.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't trying to do that.
All right.
I wasn't at all. We're sitting. I mean, seated position.
Yeah, that'd be uncomfortable.
Anyhow,
so
hello everybody. Welcome to episode 170. What did you watch this week? And the answer to that is not much.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not watch much either. Between the shortened period, you know, Sunday to Friday, and busy in the first half of the week getting my work done so that I could go to a conference on Wednesday, which I was at all day, like literally from 6:30 in the morning until 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
So everything was out there. And then yesterday on the road all day.
Yeah. Because we did watch something yesterday. Today.
Yes.
It was live and in living color.
It was not in living color.
No.
That was a great show.
Right. Anyway, it was live.
Yes.
We went to Guilford, New Hampshire, to the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion to watch Weird Al Yankovic on his Strings Attached tour.
Yes. And this is the third time that we've seen him live.
Yep.
Probably the best, I would say.
If he had a show tonight in Maine, I would go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how great of a time it is and how entertaining the show is. I would go again tonight.
He came with a 41-piece orchestra this
right.
time.
Yeah.
And his regular band.
Yes.
And his backup singers and everything. And they started a half an hour late.
Which was annoying.
It was very annoying.
Yeah.
But the orchestra started off, and they played a selection of fan favorite theme songs.
Like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Superman, Mission Impossible, some Star Wars melody.
Yep.
My favorite was Superman.
Yep.
That was amazing.
Yes.
Like, I think at one point, I think it was you that said, like, I could just listen to this all night or something of that nature. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Like, because I've seen, like, they'll do, like, at the Merrill Auditorium, which is a fancy place down in Portland. They'll do, like, John Williams Orchestra Night, where they just play John Williams selections. And I thought, I wonder if that would be interesting. Well, after last night, yes. The answer is yes.
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's live, if it's not
just because, like, I'm not going to lie. I got moved. I love Superman. And I got moved tremendously by the Superman theme. Like, I was just like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was.
And then Weird Al himself was amazing. The show was great.
Yeah, his first couple of songs that he came out, he like did them like a cross between like a spoken word dialogue, changing up the paces.
I put I relate it to like a jazz club.
Yep. Yeah.
Like one of those like hip cat jazz clubs.
Yep.
Yeah, where you snap your fingers.
Yeah.
People do shitty poetry.
Yeah.
But yeah, because he did Like a Surgeon. And I can't think of the name, but it's where he wants Rocky Road ice cream.
Yeah, I love Rocky Road.
I love Rocky Road. There we go. So it was really different and it was great. And he didn't do any Michael Jackson songs, which Cousin Johnny had mentioned, because there's five of us went last night. I took my son Kane in his first ever concert experience. And I like to add, we were sitting in the third and fourth row.
Yep.
So we bought the tickets last like December, managed to get third row on the aisle, fourth row on the aisle, because we had to buy, you know, multiple tickets. And it was the only way to get that group together. But, Cousin Johnny had said that after the Finding Neverland documentary, Weird Al has chosen not to perform Michael Jackson songs, parodies, anymore.
Right. And sure enough.
Yeah. He did not do Eat It or Fat, which are two staples that the last two shows he did both.
Yep.
But we got some great – the orchestra definitely added to the show.
And he's such a good showman. Yeah. Like, in the beginning, he would do costume changes just by, he'd say, drum solo. And normally, like, on his albums, they'll do drum solo, and it'll go on for, like, 5-6 minutes. So we're like, oh, it's costume change. And it was, like, one beat. It was like, ba-dum. And then that was it. The drum solo was over, and he came back out in a different jacket.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with the bass solo later. The guy, like, geared it all up, and he's getting all ready. And just goes, boom.
Yeah.
And he came out in another jacket. So I thought that they were just going to be quick changes, if anything.
Yeah.
But then we started getting into the video clips, and he'd come out in the full costumes.
Yes. Like I think the first one he did was the Smells Like Teen Spirit cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did it for Dare to Be Stupid and Amish Paradise.
Dare to Be Stupid was beautiful.
Oh,
White
and
Nerdy.
Yeah, White and Nerdy. And then, of course, he closed again, third concert row we've gone to, where he's closed with the Saga Begins and Yoda, which he got the there's a Star Wars 501st, the 501st Infantry.
501st Infantry.
Yeah, it's the Star Wars, like, Troopers Club or whatever, and they had them out on stage and their full Stormtrooper gear, and Darth Vader was out there and everything, and it added to it. And again, when I hear Saga Begins live, I get emotional for whatever reason. So there's something about it hits me. I don't know if it's the combination of my ultimate geekdom of both Star Wars and Weird Al combined into one.
Well, first off,
and everybody singing.
Pretty much everybody in the audience was singing along with it.
The third time in a row. Like, yeah. I can't get over, like the one song everyone seems to sing to that you can hear everyone singing to is that song.
And let's also not forget that arguably the Saga Begins was the best thing to come out of the Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that.
If we're being brutally honest here.
And the audience there was everything from little kids, like 6-7 years old, to senior citizens.
Yep.
You know, people up there walking around with canes and long white beards and, you know, struggling to move, but they were there to see Weird Al perform.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was
showing their love.
It was a phenomenal show.
Oh, absolutely.
Once again, third time going to see him and not disappointed.
Nope.
In the slightest.
I was very impressed.
Yeah.
I will see him again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like a little over 5-hour round trip drive, though.
Yeah, and like you had said, it was very, very out of the way.
Yeah, the place in Guilford, it's not near any convenient interstate for Maine. I mean, you basically have to drive cross country through, you know, major routes, but still side roads.
Right.
Yeah. And but we did go to Fun Spot first and got a 90-minute game on.
Yep.
If you haven't heard of Fun Spot, Google it, look it up. It's the world's largest arcade. It's
love
legit.
The classic video game.
It's legit a fun spot.
Yes.
But anyhow, let's actually talk about what we watched on the television or screens of some kind.
Okay. So what'd you watch?
I watched The Detour.
Okay. The most recent episode called The Year.
Yes, it's basically Jared and Delilah sit down and catch up on what happened that year while she was alone.
To her. Nothing to do with Jared.
Exactly, her year.
Except he kept popping into her flashbacks to offer commentary and be like, wait a minute, Peepaw is awesome. Why aren't you showing me more Peepaw?
Yeah, why'd you bury him? How come he wasn't the lead?
Yeah, yeah. We're talking drugs. He's a drug dealer. What the hell?
And then they flash back to the Christian girl, their group, Swindlers.
Which I had forgotten about until they came back, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
And then she even says, you know, from, like, season 2, episode 4, what are you talking about?
Yes.
But, yeah, so we got her side of things, what she's been doing. I like the line that she said, I spent 2 years planning my escape and then had no idea what to do once I did.
And that's what's so funny is because all this season up until now, we've been led to believe that she was a mastermind. And, you know, she had, even the end of last season, we're like, wow, she really had this all planned. She's really smart. And then in this one, she's not necessarily dumb, but they really highlight that she's a child.
She's 16.
Yeah.
15, 16, whatever it is. But she's just like, yeah, I spent 2 years planning this escape. And then once I did, I had no idea what to do. And then you see she pissed through that $150,000 and got swindled and just everything
else. Part of that's because she went up to those Christian girls and she was like, I ran away from my family. And they're like, okay. She goes, I stole some money. How much did you steal? $150,000.
Yeah.
Where is it? It's right here in my backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had it coming, kind of.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But again, child, you know, her grandfather, she's like, how about if you let me do drug business with you? And he's like, I'm not doing drugs. And she's like, well, let me be in the business with you. And he's like, no, you're too nice. You're too good.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll tell you what, if you can spot the fuzz that's watching us right now. And she's looking all around this whole shipping yard. She's looking, looking. She can't see anything. There's nothing. She's like, oh, I don't see anything. He goes, then what does that tell you? She goes, you're the fuzz. And he's like, no, I'm the fuzz. No, no. And then it turns out that he's not doing drugs. He's doing, like, fully homogenized milk in soccer balls. He's smuggling
milk into Russia because someone has the market on milk there. Right.
And there's, like, an oligarchy.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But, yeah, so that was a decent episode.
Yeah. I still like that show a lot.
Yep.
I don't know. They've got to come back together here pretty soon, I would imagine. Because, you know, Nate and Robin are off doing their thing with Blue Jay. And now we've got Jared Delilah, which it was good to see the year in reverse. But yeah. I felt like this was more of a filler. So they got to kind of all come together and, you know, get the fam back together.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that.
I watched The In-Between.
I am now caught up on that, except for there was one apparently on the 17th, like 2 days ago, which I have not watched.
I watched last week's, which is called Another Broken Morning, which was about...
And you had seen the one from the week before that we never talked about.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was... what was it?
Kiss Them For Me.
Yes. Which I actually liked that one quite a bit. I liked it more than the second one, actually. The killer, you know, it wasn't Slender Man, but it was like Mr. Midnight or something. Yes. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kids were getting brutally, like, somebody was going into high school seniors' houses and shooting them with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And like, that's shooting their family.
That's the other thing too, like, it's, I guess it's one thing to be bludgeoned to death or to get shot with a gun or a rifle. A shotgun is just like overkill.
Yeah, yeah.
A shotgun is like violent intent. I mean, I know, okay, it's all violent intent when you murder someone, but it's just like, it's maliciously violent intent.
Right. This is not like, I'm going to put a bullet in him. No. This is, I'm going to put a lot of little pieces of metal
in him. It's like, I want to blow a big chunk of you off.
Yep.
You know?
And depending on, if you go with a slug, you're going to take out a giant crater in them.
Right.
Or if you go with buckshot, you're shredding.
Yeah.
And in all the cases, basically, it looked like nobody, struggled. You know, nobody tried to...
Right, yeah.
And in the meantime, you've got Cassie has this woman who's a ghost who comes to her and she's like, help me, you gotta help me, I've been murdered. And it's a trip down memory lane for her because her mom was an addict and yes. It turns out this woman was an addict and she's been lying the whole time.
Well, yeah, she's listed as a missing person.
Yeah.
And so she goes to her dad who's like, well, you gotta go to missing persons.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and essentially what it is that she, you're right, you said, she's a drug addict and she spends a whole episode lying to Cassie about who she is and what she is. So, oh, I've been clean and this and that. And then just,
well, she didn't even tell her at first and she was just basically saying, oh, I went to Chinatown because I wanted to get some special stuff and make some good food for them.
Oh, that's right. It was when she found out that her mom, that the lady was a drug addict, and finally the lady, like, look, yeah, I went and met my dealer. I got high.
Yeah.
This is where I got high. And she overdosed.
No, I owed my dealer so much money, and he came to collect. And no, I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't on drugs. Yeah. Cassie's like, you were two blocks away from this street. We all know what happens on that street. And then she finds her body, and it's, like, on an old sofa, and she's in a vacant lot.
Dead.
Yeah.
Overdose. Needle still in her arm.
Yep.
Which, unfortunately, happens.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep. And they were, this is the part that was kind of brutal, was, you know, her daughter, her 16-year-old daughter, basically said, you know, my mom's an addict. She fell and broke her ankle on the front steps.
Yeah.
And got painkillers and got addicted.
Yep. And just it got worse from there.
I don't know.
That can happen, though. Unfortunately.
Oh, it happens a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's tragic.
I feel like, and this is just a side note, I guess, to me, you know, people have, I don't know if I've heard it talked about before, the addiction gene,
right,
whatever it is. I think someone that does get addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, and they, because it doesn't happen to everybody.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I feel like there has to be something that's in your makeup that hooks you more harder than other people. Because, like, I've taken, my dad was a severe alcoholic, and I have a beer a couple times a year. And it's not because I'm afraid to drink because it's going to happen to me. I don't have the urge or want or need. Right. And the same thing, like, you know, I had surgery last year, and I was on some pain pills for it because it was so bad. But I never got addicted. I still have some. Don't break in my house and steal them. I still have some. I have no urge or need or want to use them.
Yeah, because you're not in pain.
Right. So it's just, that's why I feel like, you know, I gain no pleasure out of, like, they gave me one pain medication and I thought my ceiling was attacking me while I was lying in bed because I was hallucinating from it because it just, I had a bad reaction. And yet some people seek that out.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll never understand. That was horrible.
Right.
That was not a pleasant experience.
Well, to a lesser degree, it's the same way that people smoke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They smoke because they get used to that rush of the nicotine, and when it's not there,
yeah,
then they need to get it back in them. And it becomes just another part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, so basically, on this one, the principal or the guidance counselor, yeah, was killing the families.
Because it was the classic high school bully story where there was some nerdy kid that all the jocks and cool kids picked on.
Yeah.
And two of the jocks got the pretty girl in school, the mean girl,
yeah,
to invite him to prom. And then they dragged him out in the woods and threw him in a coffin and threw him in a hole in the ground and threw dirt on top of it and left him there for an hour.
Yeah.
And then when they dug him up, you know, he had pissed himself and shit himself and vomited all over himself, and they thought it was great fun. Turns out that one of the other nerdy kids kind of turned him in.
Right, because they told him, hey, he has a crush on this girl.
Yeah, and he was like, look, you know, I'm a loser, but I'm tired of being a loser, so I saw a shot. And,
yeah,
you know, I told him, hey, yeah, he's got a crush on this girl, so you should attack him that way.
Yeah. Didn't the kid kill himself?
Yeah, he killed himself, and that's why the guidance counselor...
The guidance counselor took the revenge on the students that put this prank
on him. The guidance counselor, either his son... It might have been his son, or
yeah,
it was his younger brother or something. Somebody in his family had the same thing happen to him. So.
But he didn't just go kill the kids. He killed them. He killed the kids and the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately...
Because he blamed the parents for breeding
right,
an abusive person like that.
Yes.
It was the parents' fault.
Yeah. And unfortunately for me, it was the classic Law and Order thing where as soon as we met the guidance counselor, I went, oh, I know that guy from Continuum. He's the killer.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes.
And
he's the guest star this week that's going to be the killer.
I kept waiting for the twist because I'm like, principal? Nope. I've never seen him in anything.
Right.
Nope. Haven't seen that parent. No, it's got to be the guidance counselor. And sure enough.
And then in the last week's episode from July 10th, we get an assassination attempt on a politician that leaves one of their employees dead, workers dead or whatever. And they try to blame it on, like, a gang.
Yeah.
But he's dead. The guy they tried to blame it on is dead.
They're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. And, yeah.
So, but the thing about this show is there's always two things going on at the same time.
Yes,
so there's a police investigation.
And then there's Cassie's story.
And Cassie's story this week I actually liked quite a bit. First, I hated it. Because in the first, like, 10 minutes of the show, she was being plagued by a baby crying.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're
And it was constantly, like, it was very realistic because they used actual baby crying.
Yeah.
But they would play it very loud to show how distressed she was and how it was overtaking everything
and
else.
And she was trying to ignore it, but she couldn't.
So it kept getting louder.
Yeah.
Oh, it was driving me nuts. But it was a throwback to the first episode because this was the baby of, okay, so the little ghost girl from the first episode.
Anna, I think her name
yeah,
was. Yeah.
That, you know.
No, Abigail.
Yes, that Cassie took her to her grandfather to
at the
screw
prison.
Him up.
Yes.
Well, she's back, and yes, she's mad at her mom, who is played by Ann Dudek, cutthroat yeah, bitch.
Because her mom is with an abusive relationship.
But Abigail has a weird take on it, too, because she's like, well, this is the only dad that the baby knows, and, you know, my mom, blah, blah, blah. Like, she was almost taking her the guy's side and saying...
Well, she's basically like, she's still mad at her mom, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, if my mom's stupid enough to stay with this guy, then it's her own fault.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. And she's basically telling Cassie, don't bother to help my mom.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. she basically wants her mom to die because she still has residual anger towards her mom.
Yeah. Because what it is, Cassie gets in the car and her GPS starts guiding her to Abigail's mother's house, where she goes and finds the baby sitting on the floor crying and the mom unconscious. And essentially, like, she tries to help the mom, and then she tries to get her, like, dad too involved, and then all of a sudden, Cassie can hear Abigail screaming and goes to her mother's house to find that, you know, the mom killed the boyfriend.
Quite a bit, too. It looked like there were a lot of puncture wounds in his chest.
Yeah, there was.
From that kitchen knife she was holding.
Allegedly in self-defense. And I was a little annoyed with at the end when they wrapped it up with, like, oh, this is clearly self-defense. The DA's not pressing
any charges. Yeah, we let you go.
They investigated in all of 2 minutes. All of in the course of a couple hours, they've investigated and decided they're not going to press charges. No, the investigation would go on for quite a while.
Oh, a year at least.
Well, at the very least, a couple weeks before they decide if they're going to press charges or not. Not that evening.
It was crazy.
But they just, oh, I'm just going to wrap this up real
quick. She's not in cuffs or anything. They're just all sitting at a kitchen table you're good to go. Good thing you took that violent abuser off the streets.
Yeah, right. So...
homegrown justice is okay. I mean, I'm all for getting away from abusers, and the abuse is terrible, but, you know, the lesson here was, hey, you stabbed him. That's good.
He's dead now.
Yep.
And then, well, wasn't there another story? Yeah, there was another story in here. Hold on. Oh, no, I did watch the most recent episode. Okay. Never mind. Okay, because I'm like, wait a second, there's something I'm missing.
Yeah, it was that day that I was at the conference.
Yeah, I did watch the most recent episode, actually, because I watched it, because it's on Wednesdays, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up watching it at, like, 5 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
At work.
Was it good?
It was.
Good.
Actually, yeah, it was good. Abigail decides she's going to leave.
Yes, because she finally got her dress back.
She found her pretty dress.
She was so mad about the fact, and this was, again, kind of cool writing.
Oh, yeah, she was pissed off with the clothes her mother buried her in, because that's the only clothes she can wear for eternity.
Yeah, yeah. And then she remembered this really pretty dress that she had, and she's like, why couldn't I have been buried in that? You know, I'll never get to wear that dress again.
And then by the end of the episode, she found the dress, and she's wearing it.
Which is weird.
And she's telling Cassie that she's leaving.
Yep.
She's good. Her mom's safe. She's leaving.
Everything's been taken care of.
And she told, and they had talked about Cassie's mom a little bit. So she said she was actually going to try to go find Cassie's mom to tell her to come talk to her.
Yep. And Cassie didn't see. She wasn't like, no, don't do that. But she just seemed like, yeah, don't bother.
Now, remember the first couple of episodes we had that serial killer that had been dead for quite a while and he was trying to, is he like, have they written him off?
I don't know.
Just been disregarded now? Yeah.
It's like he disappeared, so because obviously he wasn't in the one that you watched.
No, he was trying to, like, because he's the one that was, like, kind of explaining what the in-between was and what was going on, and and after, like, 2 episodes, that died.
Yep.
That was just put to bed or whatever, but I'm enjoying the show. I'm finding that I'm really enjoying the show.
Yep.
So, again, seeing her dad there with his normal speaking voice is odd. After seeing him on Arrow for so long.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you watch any other shows?
Just one. I've watched the first 3 episodes of this show on Netflix that kept popping up for me. It's called Easy. Have you ever watched it?
Oh, so they're on like 2 seasons or something, like 3 seasons. Yeah, I've actually watched it, yeah.
It's an odd show.
It's a very sexually orientated show.
Well, it's sexually orientated, but the first 3 episodes that I've seen were all about relationships.
Yes.
Like, the first episode was a husband-wife who, you know, it's all very plain. It's very banal. You know, you've got a husband and wife who, they live in suburbia. They've got 2 kids. And she kind of wants to, like, spice up the sex life a bit. And he's just like, nah, whatever. Like, he's not cheating on her. It's not one of these type things. I felt like in these 3 episodes that I watched,
Hold on a second, I'm sorry. So this isn't the episode where they decide to have an open relationship?
No.
Okay. I don't know when that season is, but that's actually an interesting episode.
I don't think you're talking about the same thing. You're talking about the show on Hulu?
I don't know.
This one is an anthology, and there's different actors in every episode.
Yes, there is. But these actors, actually, they do a couple episodes on this couple.
Okay.
Where they decide they're going to have, I think one of the actors is Butters from Broad City? Anyways, they're a married couple who...
In this one, it was Halloween.
Okay.
Well, and she got the maid outfit.
Yes.
And he had the construction worker outfit. And it was really awkward because he's like, why would I be fixing your sink? I'm a construction worker. You need a plumber for this.
Yeah.
She's like, just play along with me. And
I do. Yeah. This is the show I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They decide to have an open relationship.
Later on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not this couple, but a different episode. This couple decides to have an open relationship. And they I don't remember when it was, but they go back to it.
Okay.
Like, they do another episode, like, the next season about them or something like that. Or the first and the last episodes of the season are two different stories with them and everything.
Gotcha.
So, sorry.
Oh, now I've forgotten where I was.
You watched the first three episodes.
Right. The second one had trouble in it from Grimm.
Yep. Yes.
And I really liked that one because the whole point of that episode was, like, two women needed a club. They're short episodes. They're not even half an hour each. So everything's kind of condensed and, like...
Well, later on, like, the couple are almost an hour.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead.
You sure? Yeah. So they meet at a club, and they start to date. You know, first they just hook up, and they're like, yeah. And the Joe, played by Trouble from Grimm, she's a vegan, and she rides a bike because, you know, she's trying to save the environment. So this other girl that she's dating... loves her so much that she starts to change herself for that. Oh, I'll be vegan too. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll watch those videos of slaughterhouses and, you know, I'll watch the video about the carbon emissions and I'll go buy a bike. But she even buys a bike and, like, wants a beat-up bike so that she can pretend that she's been riding it all along, because that happens a lot of times in relationships. When people start dating, at least, they try to change for the other person. You know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I totally do that. So, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, that's what I wanted. You know, in this case, she was like, I've totally wanted to be a vegan. Well, okay, you can be a vegan with me. You know, that's cool. And by the end, she was like, I don't want to be a vegan. I don't want to ride a bike. I like riding a car. And Joe was like, that's fine. You can be yourself and still be in a relationship with me. You don't have to be a carbon copy of me. And it was a good point.
One of these episodes has, Garfunkel and Oates, Ricky LaCalanna, but the other one.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name.
Kate Micucci.
Kate Micucci in it.
Yeah, I saw that on the preview, and it's one of the reasons that I want to watch.
You see her boobs.
Oh, okay.
She has
The third episode that I did watch had Gretchen in it from You're the Worst.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it does. Mark Maron's in an episode, too. I mean, there's a lot of people. Yeah,
that's the thing. Oh, I know that person. Oh, I know that person. The first episode, it wasn't even the main character, but one of the people who was at the party that was talking to them was one of the guys from the Sonic commercials. You know, Sonic Drive-In.
Oh, geez, yeah.
He's the dumbass one from the Sonic commercials. So, yeah, I'll keep checking it out.
They do kind of put things together. Like, all right, so that first episode I was with Andy and Kyle there, you know, the ones where they have the costumes.
Yep.
So you see him in another episode.
Oh, yeah, I see. Like, the first episode was called Swipe Right, and it says Andy and Kyle. And then I'm looking at IMDb, and, like, the fifth episode is called Swipe Left. And it says Kyle feels threatened by Andy's relationship with Ryan. So I can see where that comes back.
Yes. Like, okay, so Andy and Kyle are in the first episode of season one called The Fucking Study.
Yeah,
and then he's in episode 7, and there's a couple of other characters pop up because, like, they're friends, but because it's like they're interconnected only because they're, like, in the same city. And then Andy and Kyle are in season 2. That's when the open marriage starts.
Okay.
And then season 3, they're in 2 more episodes. So it's kind of neat because you have these 3 seasons, and you get 4 overall stories over the episodes with this couple.
I gotcha.
And it's actually very interesting.
Yeah, I thought they were just going to be straight up vignettes.
For the most part, yes, but there is some crossover. But yeah.
I was looking at season 3. But
yeah. But yeah,
Vegan Cinderella, Brewery Brothers. That was the most recent one that I watched.
It's a decent show.
Yeah, it seems decent.
Yeah.
It's definitely not like, I can't give it a hard sell.
No.
But it's enjoyable.
That's why obviously I haven't talked about it. I mean, the show's been on since 2016.
Third episode has Dave Franco in it, and Zazie Beetz, who was Domino in Deadpool 2.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, it seems like each one of them has, like, relationship lessons, but they're not beating you over the head with it.
Right.
You know, I really like the one where she was, they call it Vegan Cinderella.
Yes. You know,
she's like, I totally will become a vegan. And I really hate that. I've had people do stuff like that.
You don't need to change yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember there was a girl who was interested in me, but she didn't know enough about me. And I overheard her one day. She was talking to somebody, and this girl was like, hey, you going to go watch the new Avengers movie? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And this other girl's like, oh, pff, I was dragged to every Marvel movie. I don't want to see him, blah, 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 blah. Well, then a month or two later, she's suddenly interested in me. And she's like, I can't wait to go see the new Avengers. And I'm like, really? I thought you said that you were dragged to them. I was just saying that, but I really did secretly love it. So you can't really admit that you like that stuff because then you're a nerd. I'm like, no.
No, you can admit that you like that stuff because it's cool.
So you're just basically pretending to like the stuff that I like.
I have watched a couple more episodes of Dark Spot, which is called White Zone. I just love that. It's that French show that's on Netflix. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some really good stories. I mean, like, I've watched four episodes now, and the first couple stories are establishing stories. You're kind of establishing characters. And then we finally get, like, our Monster of the Week episode where a murder happens, and it's investigated, and the overall story is still kind of connected. I'm going to use X-Files terms. Okay. You have the background anthology story that's still going, but then it's still a Monster of the Week episode.
Okay.
And then the same thing with, like, episode four. Again, we're still looking at the overall anthology of the story, but it's another Monster of the Week episode where we have, like, a good standalone story on top of it that's being investigated. So you're seeing that they are actually doing police work. Not everything is supernaturally involved, if you will.
Okay.
Excuse me, but yeah, I really enjoy it, and I can't emphasize enough how well they get the dubbing done, because
that was going to be my question.
It doesn't look bad, even though it's originally in French, it's dubbed in English. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't sound bad. I mean, like, for instance, I watched a movie. I did watch a movie called Killing Stella, Kidnapping Stella.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put it on, it was in English, but I could tell it wasn't right. And at the end of the day, it was in German. And they dubbed it in English. And this is the bad kind of dubbing. It doesn't go along. And they even dubbed in, like, the actors sitting down having a meal and eating.
Mm.
And, like, they had the actors in the sound booth going, like, like, faking eating noises. Or maybe they were actually eating. It just sounded fucking terrible.
Okay.
Then I put the German language on and put it back to subtitles. And I'll talk about it more in a little bit, but that's the bad type of dubbing that I can't stand.
Yeah.
Year on Dark Spot, it's the good type of dubbing that's very watchable.
Good. I was telling somebody the other day, I'm playing a video game right now, and it's it takes place in Japan, and it's school kids, and it's meant to be in Japanese.
Yeah.
But with video games, instead of dubbing, they'll usually do, like, there's a voice cast that does the English, there's a voice cast that...
Right.
So I'm listening all in English. Completely in English. And it's perfect. It plays like a regular video game. It's just hilarious sometimes because they take classes in English and they'll be like, I'm failing English. And I'm like, you're speaking English. You know, or these two girls walk up and they're like, excuse me, could you please come hang out with us because we don't speak English and we need somebody to translate English for us. Your character's like, sure, no problem. I'll do that. I'm like, that makes it awkward. That's where the translation's a little funny. But yeah.
I like that though.
Yeah.
Did you watch any other shows?
No. In fact, the only other stuff that I saw this week was, like, news and trailers. Weird Al.
I got a couple movies to talk about then.
All right. What you got?
I'm going to start with Kidnapping Stella. It's a German flick on Netflix, like I said.
Like, I've heard about this recently.
Okay. So, at first, I'm like, oh, this is really similar to The Disappearance of Alice Creed.
Okay.
Which came out, which is a British flick that came out in 2009, I think. So as I'm watching this movie, I'm like, this is really just, this is The Disappearance of Alice Creed. Like, no doubt about it. And essentially, it's the same fucking movie.
So was The Disappearance based on this, or was this based on The Disappearance?
Well, The Disappearance of Alice Creed came out in 2009, and this movie came out in, like, 2018.
Okay.
And basically, these two guys kidnap a girl off the street and ransom her for money. And one of the kidnappers knows the girl. But she's not in on it. And then the other kidnapper is, like, unstable. Okay. And then at the end of the movie, basically, the long and short of it, the kidnappers end up killing each other, and then she gets away with all the money. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm like, so I'm reading The Disappearance of Alex Creed, like on the plot on Wikipedia.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh my God, all you have to do is take the title card off and write Kidnapping Stella. I mean, it is literally, it's like when Gus Van Sant made a shot-by-shot remake of Psycho.
Right.
This was this. Like, oh no.
Or the new Lion King.
Yeah, right. Like, it's just, it's absurd. I mean, it's the same friggin' movie. I mean, all the way down to, like, Victor and Danny meet in prison and hatch a plan to kidnap and demand ransom for the only child of a rich family. The film opens in which they meticulously, you know, prepare to carry out the kidnapping. Same thing as kidnapping Stella. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, they grab her, they cut her clothing off, they tie her to the bed, they ball gag her, they take pictures of her with a paper for, you know, ransom. You know, on and on and on. And then even like the point where, like, in order to tell them that she has to go to the bathroom, she signals one for one, two for two, and the bad guy, the guy that knows her, is by himself because the other guy's left to run an errand, and he goes in to, like, do whatever, and she makes the signal, I gotta make her two, and so when he uncuffs her, she attacks him. I mean, same exact freaking thing. It was just, and that being all said, how could they get away with this? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Like, this writer-director had to have seen Alice Creed, because there's, like, it's literally almost exactly the same.
Is it all based on one source material? Like, was there a book that they're both based on?
No. Alice Creed was an original story. And then this movie here is, like, essentially a remake of the same movie.
Hmm.
I mean, there's a slight change near the end, but it still ends the same. Like, instead of it all happening in this room, they take her to the meeting point, and that's where they kill each other, and she gets away with the money.
Okay.
I mean, I just sort of, like, I get it, you know, like, we've seen Spider-Man. Sam Raimi made a bunch of Spider-Man movies, and now they're making more Spider-Man movies, but it's not the same movies.
Right.
Just the same characters.
Right.
This is literally the same movie with different actors. I watched Stand By Me at Work with a coworker. Haven't watched that in a long time. Yeah. No, she's my work daughter. Because she's 21. That would be gross.
No, it would not.
You
need to get over your age hang up.
Oh, no, that's no. Okay, I grew up with my mom and my stepdad being 14 years apart, and I saw how that was, and so yes, that's gross.
To you, it's gross.
Yep, that's fine. To me, it is. Anyhow, she had never seen it. It's a solid flick. It still holds up. If you haven't seen it, or you haven't seen it in a long time, go watch it again.
Then, of course, to hear my dad talk, you know, who grew up with Stephen King down in Lisbon Falls.
Yeah.
And whose parents used to say, you stay away from that King boy, he's a real creep. To hear my dad talk, that was based on their group of friends. And one of them was a guy that I met, Chris Chesley, who was living down in New Mexico at the time. Chris was Corey Haim's Corey Feldman's character. My dad was Phoenix's character, you know, because my dad was the tough guy and the leader of the group. But yeah, that's if you believe my dad. And I know that he did grow up with him because I remember as a kid having reporters call up and wanting to do articles on Stephen King. And they're like, yeah, we heard that your dad grew up with him, so we wanted to see if he had any stories. And my dad wouldn't talk to them because, you know, that's private. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably, you know, I don't want to call your dad a liar, but I feel like it's not true.
Part of me wants to ask King someday, because me and my dad have the same name. Yeah. So I'd be like, you know, hey, I'm John Spear. And he'd be like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I knew a John Spear. Oh, yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Did you two really know each other?
See, now I want to go to, like, the finest signing and go with you and just watch this.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, my dad says that Christine was based on his car. Is that true, Mr. King? Not looking for royalties or money. I just want to know if my dad's completely full of shit or only partially full of shit. I mean, legit.
Okay, how much would you shit if he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and your dad's group of friends, I based them on Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
that,
shit.
Would that piss you off more than anything that your dad was right?
A little bit, yeah.
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 We took the boy to the drive-in. We saw Toy Story 4 and Aladdin double feature up in Bangor at the Twin Drive-In. And,
yep.
Toy Story 4 was really good.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting the ending that we got.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Aladdin was really good. I was quite surprised how good that was. And I will say that, you know, as far as Will Smith and the genie, yes, he's definitely no Robin Williams, but no one is. And he kind of had his own, brought his own style of humor into it and everything. And it, I don't know, it worked. It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know Dan Castellaneta made a valiant attempt at playing the genie in the
yes.
TV series.
Right. And then I think someone else did the genie in one of the direct-to-video movies, like
Part 2. Dan Castellaneta as okay. well. And then Robin Williams came back for the third one.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Aladdin.
Good.
Aladdin.
And Toy Story was good?
Yeah, Toy Story was really good. I don't know if it was better than 3.
Few things are when it comes to the Toy Story world. Three was just so heart-wrenching.
And I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, in this one, I mean, they're toys. They're Bonnie's toys. And,
yep.
You know, and but they deal with lost toys. And you know.
See, 3 felt so final. And I think that's part of the problem that people run into is that it felt final. But I read an article that said that in 4, they kind of addressed that by basically a lot of the stories and talk from the toys are like, why don't you put up your things? You know, that was then. This is now. And basically saying to the audience, you're grown-ups now.
Yes.
Knock it off.
And they basically do that through Woody by basically saying you're not – Andy's kid. You're not Andy's toy anymore. You're Bonnie's. Yes, this is what happened with Andy, but you're not with Andy anymore.
Right.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, like, you see these other toys, like, so you see in the trailers, there's this fork or spork that's made into something.
Forky.
Yeah, Forky. And Forky's like, and you hear it in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, but Forky's like, I'm trash. That's what I am. I'm made to be used once and thrown away. I shouldn't be around anymore.
Which is kind of cool. I like the existentialism of that.
And you see that with some of the other lost toys that they deal with who are just like, I'm a toy that's made to be played with by a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I, you know, that's what I am.
Then I can definitely see that as they're basically saying to the people like you and I, you know, the older fans, you know, who have had 20 years since the first Toy Story, they're like, this is for kids.
Yeah.
You need to stop.
Yeah.
This is not for you. The same way that you do that with a new Star Wars movie.
Right.
You know? I didn't like The Force Awakens. Okay, it's not for you.
That was awesome.
It was.
I'm talking about, but yeah. No, but and I can see that as well because, like, my whole thing with a Disney movie, like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't mind watching a Disney movie. It's for kids, but adults can enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the approach I've always taken with those. Like,
a lot of them are designed that way.
My wife wants to go see Lion King tonight.
Or, yeah.
I have no interest. It's just
a shot-for-shot remake.
It's just different. Instead of hand-drawn animation, it's computer CGI.
And slightly different voices.
Yeah. Although they did get James Earl Jones to do Mufasa. Yeah, Mufasa again. So I have
you know,
to that.
Yeah, I heard they wanted to get Jeremy Irons for Scar, but, you know, he did.
Jeremy Irons really dead? Sincerely?
I know Alan Rickman's dead.
Yes, I know Alan Rickman's. I don't think Jeremy Irons is dead, though.
No, I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yeah, no, he's 70, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
Wow, he's 70.
Yeah,
anyways.
Wow, right? No, because he was just in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Fucktard. He was Alfred.
Get out.
Jeremy Irons?
He was Alfred?
Yeah.
God, I don't remember that.
Well, you blocked out most of that movie.
Yeah, that was
so.
Yeah.
I'm all set. Like, I have very fond memories of the first Lion King. Like, everyone else had Titanic. The Lion King was my date movie with my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I have lots of fond memories of that. I don't need to go see this version of it.
Yeah.
I'd rather go see something else if I was going to go.
Well, Jenna...
Your work wife?
No, work daughter.
Okay.
Because Brenda's my work wife. They've decided that. And I have no choice in that, apparently.
Yeah, I don't see that.
So, she loves The Lion King. And she loves it. She's been super excited to go watch this movie. And so she went last night, Thursday night. And when I got woke up this morning, whatever it was. Or no, when I got home last night or something. She had messaged me on Facebook that just said, like, it was a little disappointing. So it's almost like, oh, that's too bad. Like,
it's got a bad Rotten Tomatoes score, too.
She was super excited to go see it. And so to have it kind of be disappointing, that does kind of suck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all I got left is trailers and news.
Me too.
I shared a trailer with you for a movie called Deathcember.
You shared a few trailers with me.
Yeah, the only one I wrote down apparently was Deathcember.
Okay.
But anyways, I shared one called Deathcember. It's think of it as an advent calendar of short little horror stories that are Christmas-themed related. And, of course, the reason why I know the most about this is because Tiffany Shepis is in it, and I'm I love Tiffany Shepis. So.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
If you had a chance with Tiffany Shepis, would you take it?
I'm a happily married man. Of course not.
I think I've got my answer.
But, yeah, so it looks good. I mean, I like the little...
It was quick.
Yeah, well, the trailer didn't really tell you much, honestly.
And it's supposed to be, what, like 24 of them or something?
24 short stories. Well, they've done that before, the ABCs of Death, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Where they literally, it's like a three-minute little short horror story type thing.
Love, Death, and Robots.
So, this movie, I imagine, will be at least, probably 2 hours, I bet.
Okay.
With the 24 stories. But
you think it's actually going to make it to theaters, or you think it's going to be direct-to-video?
Oh, I can't imagine it'll be in theaters.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. So, but it looks good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It looks good. I do remember sharing with you the Good Boys?
Good Boys.
Red Band trailer.
I love right in the beginning, they're interviewing with Seth Rogen. He's like, I was going to try to get you guys to watch this, you know, talk to somebody about letting you watch this. And they're like, we've seen your movies. And he's like, you've seen my movies. And they're like, Superbad? And he's like, you guys watch that?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it hasn't aged well. What did you, like, film that before you knew that black people existed? And we watched Sausage Party. Did you watch that movie?
Hey, like, it's your fault for making a cartoon.
Exactly. Yeah. What'd you think? Meh, it's okay. Well, you know what? I was going to try to get some people to sign off on you watching this, but fuck you guys.
And then you watch the trailer. Those kids say fuck a lot in that trailer.
Yeah. And I've seen an original trailer where they had that whole exchange where they took the girl's purse. And she's like, we've got Molly in there. And in the original trailer, the kids are like, who's Molly? Why is she in here?
Yeah.
And it was like, eh. In this one, the little black kid's like, you had us bring drugs to a public playground?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of swearing in it, too.
And it looks good.
It does look good.
I might see it in the theater just because I haven't gone to the theater and gotten a good laugh in a long time.
It is nice going to get a good laugh.
Like, I think the last one that I remember getting a really good laugh at was 22 Jump Street.
I remember watching 22 Jump Street in the hotel room at Rhode Island Comic Con, and we, like, had to pause it.
Mm-hmm.
We were laughing so hard at times. I haven't watched it since then because... That was such a grand experience. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to kind of erase that.
The one scene where where Brad puts it together that Schmidt did the captain's daughter.
Yes.
And he just goes off for about 2-3 minutes, like jumping around the office and screaming and dancing and laughing. And the whole time Ice Cube's just sitting there and he's like, it was beautiful.
Man, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
What else did I share with you for trailers?
Those were the only two that I knew of, except for that you told me about two and we kind of watched.
We watched the Jay and Silent Bob reboot trailer. I got to say, watching the trailer, if you'd never seen any of the movies before and you're just watching the trailer, I'll go, what's this? I've never heard of this.
Oh, I wouldn't be interested at all.
You would have no interest in watching that movie.
Not at all.
But because we've watched all the movies from the beginning, for over the last... 20 years.
At least.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll go to the theater and watch it.
It was fun for me to see some cameos in there, like Chris Hemsworth. Like, how did they get him?
Yeah.
Seeing Justin Long as a lawyer and remembering his character of Brandon St. Randy.
Yes.
In Zack and Miri. And then same thing with Craig Robinson, as the judge. I'm like, okay, so he obviously got these actors to come back, but not as their roles.
Right, right.
But then you see a quick shot of Matt Damon sitting on a church pew, turning around to look at them, and he's got the hoodie and the jacket from
And you see Ben Affleck as two characters.
Yeah.
Well, you see him as Brody. Not Brody. You see Brody in there,
mm-hmm.
and you see Banky in there.
Yep. And you see Ben Affleck as, what was his name?
I'm trying to think.
I want to say Shannon, but it wasn't.
No, Shannon was the casual male when he worked in Mallrats.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I can't think of his Chasing Amy name.
Chasing Amy, Holden? Holden McNeil?
Holden McNeil, yeah. But you know who you didn't see? You didn't see, at least I don't remember seeing them in that. I don't remember seeing Dante and Randall.
Nope, I didn't see them. Although we did see
Dante's, his wife, we're assuming, for after Clerks 2.
Yeah, and we saw the quick stop, and the RSD video is gone, and now it's going to be their new chicken joint called Cocksmoker.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
But basically, they're making a reboot of Bluntman and Chronic, and so now they're trying to go to Hollywood to stop the reboot of the movie they originally
We see
stop.
Jason
Hughes?
No.
Oh, Jason Biggs.
Yes, and James Vanderbeek. Yeah. I wanted to say Jason Vanderbeek. And they're both doing a Comic-Con panel, and somebody's like, what do you think about this reboot? Biggs is like, it fucking sucks. There, I said it, all right? It sucks. Who's directing this thing? Kevin fucking Smith?
But yeah.
But once again, though, it's Kevin Smith. So, like, one of the main characters is his daughter.
Yeah.
Who's playing Jay's daughter.
Yeah. Jay's love child with Shannon Elizabeth's character.
Justice.
Back from, yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah.
I like how the kid's fully grown, and she's like, Jay, we had a love child. Prepare to meet your daughter. And then they open the door, and it's a little black girl. And he's like, I think I want a blood test.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll see it. I honestly don't know if I'll go to the theater to see it. I know that at the end of the trailer, Kevin Smith and Jay Mewes were standing there, and they were like, hey, we're bringing it to your city. We're going to bring it around the country, and we're going to answer questions afterwards. My first thought was, how many questions? Like, one?
One? Yeah.
You'd have 3 hours to answer
one question.
You
know what? If they brought it up this way, which they won't, but if they brought it up this way, I'd go see it just to see them live.
Yeah. It would have to be like Portland. I wouldn't go to Boston for that.
No, that's what I mean. If they brought it up. When I say up this way, I meant Maine.
Right.
I watched the Top Gun Maverick trailer.
I did, too. It's exactly what we thought.
Yeah. There's the whole, basically, the whole trailer is a narrative of a person talking about where he should be.
Not should just be, any person.
Yeah, where Tom Cruise should be. You should be a two-star admiral by now, but instead you're just a captain.
It's RoboCop himself.
Yeah. And then it's just, yeah. And then there's lots of jet flying and speed and...
Yeah, so you're just a captain. You should have been a two-star admiral by now. Yeah. And, of course, Tom Cruise looking as young and as dapper as ever. Yeah. And it looks like they recreated a lot of the scenes from the first movie. You know, he pulls his bike out of storage, pulls the tarp off it, and then goes and flies down the runway again.
And puts the jacket on.
I don't know.
I mean, it didn't blow me away.
Oh, no. God, no. I looked at it and I went, why? Why are they doing this?
Well, they don't actually tell you any story in it.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
So,
you have any other trailers?
Yeah, I do. I shared one with you, The Kingsman.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, it's an official prequel to the Kingsman movies.
Yep.
And
it takes place in World War II or One?
World War One, I believe.
I think so as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be the founding of Kingsman.
Yeah.
And it's got Ralph Fiennes, and the moment I saw him in there, I went, why hasn't he been in this series yet?
Yeah.
Like, that just seemed odd. I'd love to see Benedict Cumberbatch as a villain, but, it just looked great.
Yeah.
It looked fantastic. Really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw another one that I shared with you because I know your love for it, Super Size Me 2.
Yes.
Holy Chicken.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about that? Because I know that you're a big Morgan Spurlock.
Well, okay, so I do like Morgan Spurlock, but, you know, I didn't know about this came out a few years ago, and I'm surprised this didn't get this movie buried, but in the first Super Size movie, he was struggling with alcoholism. So he wasn't just eating McDonald's, he was drinking.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that came out years later. But anyways, this movie, basically, it's not him eating fast food for a month again to see what happens.
Right.
He's going to open his own fast food restaurant.
Yep.
And he's going to sell chicken because
he wants to see if the fast food industry has improved in the years
right.
It is.
And the trailer looks really good as far as, like, you know, what he does to pick a location, open the restaurant, go through the process, you know, develop food for the menu, and then make the food, and then you know, check the caloric intake of the food and this and that. And
even though I love his free range thing.
Yes, that's the other thing. He goes into like, all right, I don't want to have chicken that's, I want to have chicken that's, you know, free range, no antibiotics, no this, no this, no this, no this. So it's like the freshest, best chicken you can have. And then he finds out the guidelines, the minimum guidelines to make him be free range is to like take a huge barn, they're all in, have an open doorway, and then put a fence that's like goes out like a semicircle, like 3 feet.
Oh, if even that. You know it looked like the, if yeah. the chicken laid down, it would be touching both ends.
And he's just like, well, there it is, free range.
That's the minimum amount that they're allowed to do.
Yep.
Looks like Boston, Mass. Is as far north as Jay and Silent Bob are coming.
Oh, when's that?
I got to check. I just wanted to get to the bottom of the list. It is November 8th.
Yeah, if that's just, I'm not going down to Boston for that.
No.
But anyhow, it's funny. 10 years ago, theater. 10 years ago, we would have.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Wilbur Theater's nice. I've been there.
Is it?
Yeah. 10 years ago, we would have.
Yep.
Oh, 15 absolutely. Years ago, we fucking wouldn't have hesitated to go.
Yep. I agree completely. So.
Any other trailers?
Yes.
Go. What you got?
What?
What?
VIP tickets are only $47.
Well, maybe we will be going.
We'll have to look into this. Hold on. So I watched a trailer for a new show that's coming to Showtime, and it's based on a book, I think. It's called On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
I'm sorry. Tickets range from $37 to $737.
Oh, okay.
I went to the Wilbur Theater website.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, On Becoming a Death in On Becoming a God in Central Florida. And it's a movie, or it's a TV series on Showtime. It's Kirsten Dunst plays a... From the looks of it, she plays a trashy Florida woman who gets hooked into one of these pyramid schemes and then kind of gets screwed over. So she decides to work her way up the chain of it and yeah. kind of take out the people at the top. It looks interesting. I don't know. It's Kirsten Dunst in the first thing in a while, so I'll probably check it out.
She hasn't done anything in a long time.
No, she hasn't. I watched the trailer for the new movie based on the musical Cats. The movie's called Cats.
Is it a musical?
It's a musical.
So it's the musical, but of TV, like a movie version.
Yeah. And it's got big stars like Judi Dench and Ian McKellen and James Corden and Taylor Swift.
Are they dressed as cats?
Oh, it's weird. You'll have to, after this, you'll have to watch the trailer. It's kind of creeping people out, and I can see why. Because it looks like basically what they did was put them all in bodysuits. And then digitally added cat fur and everything. So it almost looks like they really are cat people. And it's pretty creepy. Yeah. I'm
looking at stills.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be seeing it.
Yeah, that does look creepy.
Yeah. Idris Elba is one of the cats. Like, they have a lot of Jason Derulo. They have a lot of star power in this thing.
That's
but,
definitely all CGI'd on them.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Like I said, they probably wore a green screen suit, you know, one of those mocap suits, and then had people digitally insert fur over their breastuses and genitalia.
Yeah. Creepy. So.
Yeah. And I think that's it for what I saw for trailers. Yeah, we've talked about the rest of them.
Yeah. What about some news?
Yeah. What you got for news?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to go to a hot button topic. 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. They're cutting the suicide scene out of the episode.
I heard about that, which I never watched any of the show.
So,
I know you did.
I did. And basically, like, you're watching a TV show that is, what I don't know if it's 10, 13 episodes, whatever it is, called 13 Reasons Why, where basically the whole show is you listening to some tapes that this girl recorded talking about the reasons why or the reason why she killed herself. And the whole point of this show is her talking about why she killed herself. And then you get to the end of the, almost the end of the final episode, and she kills herself. And it's supposed to show this girl, this teenage girl, who is so distraught with life, so broken up, so just completely crushed that her only escape in her mind is to kill herself. And so you see this and it's graphic because it's realistic scene of a girl who draws a tub, sits in it, takes a razor blade and slits her wrists. Mm-hmm. And ultimately bleeds to death in the tub.
Mm-hmm.
And then her parents find her.
Yep.
If you cut that scene out of the show, just cancel the show. Because, you know, sincerely, because the whole point of the show is getting to this point. And it's not glorifying suicide. It's talking about why she did it. And then it gets to the point where she did it. Now you're going to take it out. So you're not going to see it. It's not going to have that impact it should have on you. The impact that it should generate as to, this is what the girl did and this is why. You know what I mean? So you're kind of taking that out. It's not, I don't think they should leave it because suicide's cool and they should glorify suicide. I don't think it does. I think it really shows you the reality of it. If anything, I think if someone who was having those issues or thoughts saw that, that they would give them pause. But third season's coming out and someone's decided that it's too offensive, so they're taking it out.
I've never watched the show.
Yeah,
I saw briefly about that.
Yeah,
didn't want to get near it. I assume that their reasoning is something along those lines. I figured it was probably because they didn't want to basically pave a roadmap. You know, here's how you kill yourself, kids.
But it's not a roadmap. It's not anything that anyone had. Like fucking it, the original mini TV series, it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the 1980s, was it? Early 90s, 80s, whatever it was. That's how that one. That's how the character kills himself at the end of the first part.
Yeah,
he gets in a tub and slits his wrists.
Yeah, but you're comparing things from back then to now.
Well, I understand, but you're still. It's not like it's not a mystery. It's not like right. This show has shown something someone that they never realized before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the point I'm trying to make about it. This is not something new. It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
We have the internet. If you want to Google how to commit suicide, you Google it.
Probably. Yeah. There'd probably be plenty out there about that.
Right. So, I don't know. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. I'm still not going to watch the show.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't interest me at
fine.
All. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an interesting blurb to pop up.
And I guess the other thing is, it's not like the show just aired and they decided this. It aired like 4 years ago.
Right, yeah.
You know, like it's...
Well, I've seen some of these things. I can't even remember which one it was, and you'll probably be able to help me with this, but there was a show... Oh, Bird Box.
Yeah.
So, apparently, there's a TV on in the background of one of the scenes, and the footage that they're showing on it was actual real footage of a train derailment that happened in France in real life at some point.
Oh, okay.
And there became a controversy over that because they're like, why are they showing that? That really happened. Those are real deaths in there. It should be only fake stuff on there. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, on the one hand, I kind of get what they're saying because they're saying, you know, you're using a real tragedy to, you know, help sell your show. But it's not like the show was based around that train wreck.
No.
It was just a news story that was on in the background.
Yeah. I think I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think these days, it's a fine line. Because there are an awful lot of things that are in poor taste. But I also think that people, in general, are... okay. So, when we watched The Detour.
Yeah.
When Delilah ends up at college.
Yes.
Okay. First off, hilarious how many times she got hit in the face with balls.
Where do they keep coming from?
Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. Secondly, though, was when she was, to my point, was when she was sitting in that group with the girls.
Oh, that was so frustrating.
You know, they're pointing
at
her heels and they're like, why are you wearing those? And they're talking about, you know, like that is a thing that was created by men to subjugate us and make us more slaves. She's like, I just want to look pretty. Oh, pretty so that a man can, and the way that they kept getting triggered, the way that they kept, you know, your microaggressions are triggering me. And I think that you need,
right.
It's ridiculous.
And Delilah makes a comment of like, I joined this group because this is supposed to be the diverse group that anyone can join and everyone's accepted and this and that. And yet you guys are just basically being mean bitches.
Yeah, mean white girls.
Mean white girls, yeah. And one of them makes a comment of like, oh, you're pointing out our lack of diversity because because even those people were so segregated or whatever it is that even, you know, people of other colors or races don't want to hang out with us. Not that they would understand their own strife anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
It was infuriating.
It's very infuriating. Yes. So that was my point is that, you know, yes, there are some shitty things. It's kind of like back in the 80s when we first started getting those messages on movies that said, you know, no animals were harmed in the making of this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Because up until that point, you know, if they had to do a scene with a dog jumping out a window, they threw a dog out a window.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. I'd love to know how they did Artax in the Swamp of Sorrow in friggin' Neverending Story. Terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had to start doing that stuff because people looked at it and said, no, legitimately, this is a problem.
Right.
And I think that there is still a lot of stuff out there like that. There's still some things where you look at it and you're like, yeah, that shouldn't be happening. But I also think that now it's like people are looking for everything.
Yes, people are searching for something to make it become their cause.
Every little thing. Yeah. And, yeah, I can't abide that. That's getting a little too in-depth for me. What else you got for news?
I'm going to pronounce his name horribly wrong.
Okay.
Tiki Watiti.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. Coming back to write and direct Thor 4.
Woohoo! Right. Which is interesting because we're pretty sure that Thor's with the Guardians of the Galaxies right now. So he could be hanging out with James Gunn for a while. But those two are buddies anyway.
Right.
Taika and James. Yeah. So I saw that.
I'm pretty excited.
Yes!
And Thor's the first standalone guy to get 4 films.
Good on him.
Avengers got 4 films, but Thor himself got 4.
And you got to admit, I'm sure you will. So, like, the first Thor, okay, they're bringing Thor to the, all right. And he's kind of a weirdo. He's kind of a Thor Dark World. Are we seriously, like, why do we still have this guy around?
Not the worst in this run.
No. Not.
But still, not even close.
Yeah. It was not good. And then Thor Ragnarok. We're like, really? Are you going to do this? And then watched it and went, oh, motherfucker, that was great.
I actually think that's my favorite Marvel Universe movie right now.
It was awesome. It's right up there.
I loved Endgame. I loved Infinity Wars.
Doctor Strange
is excellent. Civil War was good. Winter Soldier was good. But man, Thor Ragnarok, just beginning to end, it's just a fantastic flick.
When Bruce Banner jumps plane and lands on the Rainbow Road.
And Valkyrie's just like, huh. And then finally becomes Hulk. She's like, oh! But yeah, that was freaking awesome.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, Ragnarok's amazing. So I'm very excited to see him coming back to do Thor 4. Yes. I'm super excited about Thor 4 now. So.
Yes, me too.
Oh, they've released a bunch of snippets here and there about the CW shows, and I haven't really watched them all, but, you know, Arrow's final season, and it's going to be sad and blah, blah, blah. But Melissa Benoist, whatever,
Benoist,
released an image of her as Supergirl wearing long pants.
Yes, no skirt.
The thigh-high boots are there, same, like, upper part, same cape, just now long pants.
And she has bangs. Like, sure. She sees that bangs.
Yes, she does. Yeah. True, yeah. But long pants.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Whatever. It's just kind of like, okay, that's different.
Yeah.
I actually like the skirt.
Yeah.
That Supergirl wears a skirt.
Yeah.
You know? Now the girls can wear pants, but, you know. Yeah. FX Plus has a subscription service.
Oh.
It's ending August 20th.
I didn't even realize it had one.
Well, because they're owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
So they're ending it. So you can see that probably. I mean, with the Disney one Plus. Coming out. Yeah. So Mandalorian went over budget.
Oops.
$12 to $15 million an episode was the total cost.
Per episode?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Season 2, it's been renewed for season 2.
It hasn't even, we don't even have a trailer yet.
God, John Favreau's already working on season 2.
I mean,
they want a second season.
San Diego Comic-Con is this week.
Yeah.
So we'll probably start, that's why we got Maverick, that's why we got Jay and Silent Bob.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, we'll see more stuff, but I mean, wow. That's insane.
Yep.
Amazon's developing a Jack Reacher TV series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they said that since Amazon's doing it, it's possible that it could cross over with Jack Ryan, since they've got that series as well.
Okay.
That could be interesting.
Those
two kick-ass guys, you know, one who's a lone wolf and one who's a by-the-books kind of guy.
Yeah.
Did you hear this thing about the next 007?
Yes. Okay, I had that in my news here. Lashana Lynch, she played Maria in Captain Marvel.
Yep.
There's a scene where at the beginning, M introduces, says, 007, please come here, and she walks in the room.
Yep.
So Bond is still Bond in the movie. He's still playing James Bond.
Yep.
But his 007 moniker, his...
Well, he's retired.
Yeah, his code number has been assigned to somebody else.
Because it says so, he's retired, but he has to come out of retirement to rescue her.
So she's not the new Bond that they keep talking about.
Right.
But she,
that we know of.
So she is playing 007.
Yep. Yeah, and they were very specific about that.
Yeah, they were.
And I only have one other piece of news myself. Mm-hmm. You got any more?
No.
So this was really exciting for me. This popped up on my news feed right before we decided to sit down and record.
Okay.
Okay. So this was Crisis on Infinite Earth news.
Okay.
They said that they are going to have, because it's Crisis on Infinite Earths, they are going to have two people dressing up as Superman. They're going to have Tyler Hoechlin, who has been playing him on Supergirl, so he will still be Superman in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And then also, donning the Superman costume, again, Brandon Routh.
Really?
Yes. Brandon Routh will be suiting up as Superman again.
But he's already...
Adam.
Yeah.
Yep, but he will not, he will be playing Clark Kent slash Superman. Because it's Infinite Earths. So we're going to see the Bryan Singer Superman.
That's fucking badass.
Immediately my mind went, okay, then you know what? Tom Welling was on Lucifer, which was on the CW. We need to have him suit up.
Yeah.
And Dean Cain played the dad on Supergirl.
Yeah.
We need to have him suit up.
Yeah.
So I would love to see Michael Rosenbaum.
I thought you were going to say Tom Welling.
I don't see why they won't.
When you said Brandon Routh, I was like, ooh.
Can you imagine? How about Justin Hartley showing up as either Another World's Oliver Queen or Another World's Aquaman?
That would be. I'd rather see Oliver Queen.
I would too. But either way, I would be happy. I kind of lost. And I know people might say, slow your roll. You know, both of these actors are already on the shows. But, like I said, Tom Welling was on Lucifer. And Dean Cain has been on Supergirl.
Yeah.
So there's nothing preventing them from suiting them up as their own version. Dude, imagine if Terry Hatcher showed up as well. We've already had Erica Durant as, you know, the new version of Kara's mom. But think about it. Brandon Routh is going to be playing both Adam and Superman. So we could have Erica Durant being her mom and Lois.
That'd be awesome.
I'm just excited that they're actually going to have Brandon Routh.
That's really cool.
Yes.
That is super fucking
cool. I'm excited. I think that's really cool.
That's like very, very close.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I'm super excited now.
That was the best news. I saw that. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tell everybody about this.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think that's it for us.
Yep. It's getting a little loud in here.
Yeah, Wesley's being a little loud in the background now.
Little loud, kiddo.
Well, he just shook his head no at you.
Yeah.
Well, he was good for the first, hour.
Yeah.
Until he had to go
hour pee. And 11, wow.
Yeah. So. All right, that's it. I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's it for this week. Thanks.
Talk to you next week.